The short-lived secret organization Svetlana, formed in 1948, grew to become the largest anti-communist group in Czechoslovakia, boasting several hundred members at its peak and operating in more than a dozen cells, mainly in Moravia. That's one version of events. Many long believed that, in fact, Svetlana was not only infiltrated by the State Security Force, or STB, but was in fact a creation of it, part of operations to ensnare counter-revolutionaries, those sympathetic to what is now known as the Third Resistance Movement. Other questions remain as to whether it was an inherently violent group or provoked into action for propaganda purposes. A new exhibition in Prague looks at the tangled history not only of the controversial anti-communist resistance group Svetlana, active in the late 1940s, but also of the battle for control of historical memory, where issues are rarely black and white. Called the Svetlana Case, the exhibition was prepared by the Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes, or USTR, in cooperation with the Archive of the Security Services and the Czech National Museum. After sorting through more than 10,000 texts, from official reports and documents to letters and transcripts of interviews by surviving members or their descendants. Ahead of the exhibition's opening to the public, I spoke to USTR Deputy Director Andrzej Matejka. I began by asking him how long it had taken to put it all together and what questions, if any, had been finally put to rest.
It was about 2 years. Where the colleagues of mine had to do the research. The issue is that, of course, there are many facts well known about this case, but there are also many questions. For example, the interference of state security in the organization, where there are some opinions that the whole organization was mostly something like a provocation of state security, which colleagues of mine have proved, and they told that it doesn't seem to be true. Finally, but you can...
Sorry, just to clarify, meaning that it had been thought that the secret police, the STB, had actually started the organization.
Not started, but it was the way how the state security tried to fight the opposition was that they tried to provoke violent actions. And because many of the... It's not only the case of Svetlana, it's also in other cases. Because many of these groups, they were not really keen on violent actions, shooting communists or something like that, because this situation after 48 wasn't a war situation. It was a situation of a stable, more or less stable country, where it isn't necessarily usual to shoot other citizens. And but it was for them, for state security, very good if they could bring somebody to make some kind of violent action, because then you could, via propaganda, tell these groups are terrorists, they are really violent, and so on. Yeah. And using of violence was, of course, a very tricky point, actually, in this whole resistance movement. So that's why we do not necessarily finally learn what actions were provoked by state security and which actions were somehow authentic or somehow really coming out from the movement or from the group itself.
Svetlana's founders certainly were no strangers to violence. Most were former partisans, leftist guerrillas who had taken up arms against the occupying German army during World War II. So too were the main officers from the STB secret police who would go on to infiltrate and eventually bring down the group. But while both had fought for and believed in the cause of building socialism and an eventual communist utopia, the true members of the anti-communist resistance group had grown bitterly disappointed by the Stalinist government that took power in post-war Czechoslovakia. not least in how they themselves were treated with suspicion rather than being honored for fighting against the fascists. In fact, the short-lived group's immediate aim was to build the organization by recruiting new members and forming new cells, though there was a long-term belief that eventual armed conflict could prove necessary. There's compelling evidence that Svetlana's members stockpiled weapons and ammunition and, in exceptional cases, planned armed actions. They also helped anti-communists on the run. Mainly, though, Svetlana published leaflets outlining what its members saw as the failings, and indeed crimes, of the communist regime, says Andrei Mateika.
There were some shootings with state security, but it was not the intention of the group itself, of group Svetlana, to fight, to shoot on the communists. It was as that they mostly started with doing leaflets and doing informational campaign about the crimes of communism and so on. And the interesting point, the core of the group were the former partisans, that means the fighter in the World War II against the German in the woods and so on. And these partisans, even if they were actually ex-soldiers, they weren't, their attempt wasn't to start fighting with guns. They wanted to start fighting with ideas, explaining the communist crimes and so on and so on. And the shootings, they were there, were actually, it was a result of attempts of the state security to capture the members of the group and while trying to cross the border and trying to arrest them.
The group's main founder, Josef Vavra, known as Staršík, was born in the Moravian city of Zlín. There is some question as to whether he had infiltrated fascist groups in the early days of the German occupation, as he claimed, or had joined them in earnest and only later switched sides, and, regardless, whether he had exaggerated his role in the resistance later on in the war. But under threat of arrest by the Gestapo, Vavra Staršík did flee to Slovakia, where he later took part in the Slovak national uprising against the Nazi puppet state. Whatever his record during the war, he also later did form a group in Zlín to help former Czechoslovak partisans called Partokol. And then, in September 1948, the anti-communist organization Svetlana, which he named after his own daughter while living in exile shortly after the communist coup in Germany and later in France. He was eventually kidnapped by the state security and taken to Prague, where he was brutally tortured, accused of collaborating with the Gestapo and of murdering Augustin Schramm, an ethnic German communist and agent of the NKVD, the Soviet secret police.
Vavra Staršík was actually one of the leaders of the partisan groups in the mountains in the Eastern Moravia, which was actually one of the regions where the partisan movement was very strong. After the war, he, as a communist, as a leftist, definitely, he wasn't satisfied with the politics after the war. Firstly, they wasn't satisfied with the role the resistance fighters from the World War II got after the war. They were frustrated that even if they have fought against the Germans really hard and really, in fact, fighting because this partisan movement wasn't that this resistance wasn't very very strong in Protectorate Böhmen and Mähren. So, and if they were real fighters, they thought they really should have a word after the war, and they saw that not really. They
were rather not trusted.
Yeah, they were not trusted, yeah, exactly. And then, you know, that was an organization of the ex-partisans created with the center in Prague, and these people from the regions, they weren't just accepted. And it was the start of the frustration. And then after 1948, after the coup d'etat from the Communist Party,
the so-called Victorious February.
Yeah, Victorious February. He saw that many, many problems in the way that the communists in the Czechoslovakia ruled. And then he wanted to stay a communist, but as you have told, that he was an admirer of Tito's Yugoslavia, of the way of the Yugoslavian communists, ex-partisans, especially in Yugoslavia, very strong, and was definitely a communist way, but not a way of serving the Soviet country and the Soviets. And that's why he took the action and started to organize this group.
Eventually, Vavel Stajic was executed by the communists in August 1953, although he never confessed to the murder of Augustin Schramm, and even though the STB itself did not recommend such a harsh sentence. And yet, questions persist, at least in the popular imagination, as to which side of the ideological struggles, both before and after the war, Vavra Stajic and his comrades were really on. The picture has been further muddied because, apart from fabricating evidence and putting out disinformation, in some cases the security service also ruthlessly sacrificed their own agents so as not to blow their cover or in order to advance some particular narrative of events.
Is it clear how early on this group was infiltrated by STB agents or sympathizers?
That's one of the things that isn't definitely clear. You know, it was very soon, but the issue is that the leaders of the group weren't STB agents. They were, of course, somehow tried to. There were some attempts and so on, but they were authentic leaders of the group, and of course there were some other members of the group. They were related to the state security, but the leaders not really. And you know that their fate was very harsh. One day, Vavra Stajic succeeded to left the country, but he was kidnapped and brought back to the Czechoslovakia, and then assassinated.
He was hanged,
and you know that the reaction of the regime was a very brutal one. Over 400 people were arrested, I think 25 life sentences, and lifelong sentences, sorry. And there were some 18
executions,
which is, you know, it's a very brutal attempt. And you have to take into account that it was in one region, actually. It was not in the whole country. It was actually a little part of the country where the people were somehow related to their family, so it was a very, very harsh harsh reaction.
Subversion is, of course, an important technique of communist conquest. Czechoslovakia in 1948 is an established democracy in Eastern Europe. Suddenly, a rash of strikes. Conservative elements are forced to resign from the cabinet. Communist deputies pound their desks. As the street demonstrations reach riot proportions, police brutality in putting down the riots is charged, and the communists take over the police. On February 25th, informed that the alternative is civil war, and aware of unmistakable threats of invasion from the Soviet Union if he does not capitulate, President Benesch accepts a communist cabinet.
What is clear is that the first arrests came as Svetlana was preparing a leaflet to be published on the anniversary of the so-called Victorious February communist coup. And by the summer of 1949, most members of the group were in custody, Svetlana's activities crippled, and before the Stalinist era was over, dozens of its members put to death, along with others of the Third Resistance, following show trials. The exhibition, the Svetlana case, must be seen in that wider context, so says Andre Mateka, as the issues and questions it raises still resonate.
The Third Resistance is really one of key issues of our politics of memory of the present day of Czech Republic, because remembering people they were fighting against the communist regime is very important. To know that not everybody was somehow just resigning, and that's why it's interesting. But also, it's very interesting to make it on a critical way, and to be open to all the questions they are. For example, the leaders of this group were communist, actually. Yeah, they were fighting, they were communists fighting against the communists. And it's important to know, yeah, they were not always, you know, some right-wing activists or something like that. Or even this infiltration by the state security. It's on time to face this question openly and to be aware of the risk that there are some actions that were provoked by the state security. But on the other hand, it's also important to remember how brutal the reaction of the communist regime was, how violent it was. There was no questions, actually. There was only very, very harsh repression on these people. And we have to learn that the dictatorship is capable of doing that. And as modern democracy, we need to remember that in order to strengthen our democracy today.